Live from Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, it is the nation's number one show for caregivers. There are over 65 million of us out there. 65 million, that's a huge number. And we're equipping them and encouraging them and giving them practical advice drawn on 30 years of practical wisdom. And that comes from me. I am your host, Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us. I've been doing this for a very, very long time through a medical nightmare, and I've learned a lot of things along the way of how to help a caregiver. What does it even look like to help a caregiver? What does that look like to give them practical advice, to even pray for them? How do you even pray for a caregiver? These are things that we talk about on this show, and we bring you a wide variety of guests, of people that can bring such insights, of medical personnel, of equipment, and all kinds of things. Everything you need as a caregiver, but mostly at the core of all of it is this deep understanding we have of the heartache that you carry as you care for someone else, as you're putting your life between someone who is vulnerable and disaster. You're putting your wallet there. You're putting your heart there. You're putting your physical body there, trying to do as much as you can to prevent this thing from coming off the rails. How do you care for yourself in this thing? And what does that even look like? And that's what this show is about. We understand the challenges on it. We understand ways that very few people will. And it is a brutal reality. This month is November, National Caregiver Awareness Month. And we're going to spend a lot of time this month and through a series of shows here talking about different things that are going on out in this world in a much more involved process than we normally do, even though we normally do that a lot. We're going to bring you some highlighted stuff on specific diseases, and that's what this show is going to be about today. We've got a very specific disease that we're going to talk about. So if you know somebody with Parkinson's, if you know somebody who's caring for somebody with Parkinson's, this is the show, because there's a component to Parkinson's that's affecting a lot of people. About 50% of them are being affected by this, so we're going to talk about this a little bit later. And so many things to get into. If you want to be on the show, the number is 800-688-9522. That's 1-800-688-9522. Or if you're in the Nashville area, 615-737-9522. That's WLAC for those of you in McDuncan. 615-737-9522. And we love to take your calls. Hey, we've got also, in addition to Chris Latham and the band that you just heard with that fabulous intro, thank you, Chris, we've got the man in the booth, the guy that you know as the Fuhrer of Funk, the Grandmaster of Groove. He is the Count of Mighty Disco, John Butler, everyone.
Oh, Peter, thank you so much for that intro. I really appreciate it.
Well, I just want to be a blessing. That's all I care about.
Well, you are a blessing to so many people. I'm just going to leave that open-ended.
Just leave it open-ended, yeah. Insert your snarky comment here. Well, listen, are you well?
I am. It's a, you know, I kind of like this weather. Some people might not, but this is really John weather. This is good stuff.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, good.
I do like this time of year, but it also brings its own set of challenges for caregivers.
Absolutely.
And we're going to get right to today's caregiver tip. By the way, you know, we do every show, we do a tip for caregivers that we'll just talk about throughout the show. It has its own theme song, the caregiver tip, doesn't it, for the day?
Absolutely.
So today's caregiver tip. You want to try that one more time?
No, it went through. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It actually went through twice. You didn't hear the first one.
Well, today's caregiver tip, and I'm going to do something a little bit different today. Get ready for Thanksgiving.
Right.
The
on.
Holidays are coming, and you're going to have family members coming to your home who are elderly or disabled. You know, whether it's a grandmother or a cousin or friend or whatever, can they get into the home? Now, look at your house. Look at your setup. Can they get there? Do you have proper equipment there for them? Are there too many stairs to come in? Can you get a wheelchair in? Did you know that you can rent a ramp? You can rent a ramp.
I knew that because I work on this show.
Well, just for the holidays, if you just need one, look at the physical layout of your house. Are your bathrooms safe?
Probably want to pull up those throw rugs, too.
Probably want to pull up the throw rugs. But are the bathrooms safe? Can people navigate? Do you need a grab bar in there? Do you know where to put those things? Well, guess what? One of the sponsors, longtime sponsor of the show, 101 Mobility, they do. That's what they do every day. So today's caregiver tip is to call 101 Mobility right now, 615-830-6478. Let me say that again. Write this down. 615 615-830-6478. That's 615-830-6478. That's today's caregiver tip, because Cecil and Jerry, these are great guys, and they do this every day of helping folks make their homes more accessible and more friendly for people with impairments of mobility impairments and so forth. And they also do stuff for your car. They'll do stuff for, I mean, they can do it all. They can do an elevator if you need them. But right now, I'm just looking at for Thanksgiving. People are coming to your house for the holidays. They're going to be coming to your house, and you want to make sure that they can get in comfortably and it's not a stressful thing. Let these guys help do that. So call Cecil or Jerry at 101 Mobility, 615-830-6478, and call them, and you can get that set up. Don't wait till the week of Thanksgiving and realize, oh, my goodness, I have three steps coming into the house, and so-and-so is coming over. And it could not – you know what? It may not even be an elderly person. It could be a kid that broke his leg playing soccer.
Yeah.
You know, but the family's coming, and they got somebody that's on crutches or whatever, or using a cane or using a walker. Let's don't make it hard on you or them, okay?
Yeah, there's enough stress, guys.
There is enough stress. So call Cecil and Jerry. That's today's caregiver tip. All right. Today, we're going to talk about something. Now, I hope you, if you know somebody with Parkinson's, this is the show I'd really like for you to tune in, because you're going to get some valuable information. We're going to be joined here in a little bit from a lady in Southern California who's been dealing with this with her husband. And then later on the show, Dr. Daniel Clausen, a great friend of the show, Vanderbilt. He's a neurologist and just a brilliant guy, and he's going to be joining us as well. This is what one of the three main diseases he spends his time with is Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and Huntington's. And he's going to be giving us some insights into this, as well as Diane from down in Southern California is going to be sharing her own journey on dealing with this. Parkinson's disease psychosis. It doesn't happen to everybody with Parkinson's, but it happens to about 50%. And they start developing hallucinations and delusions and all kinds of things. And it's already stressful dealing with someone with Parkinson's.
Yeah, well, and it makes sense. That's a neurological disorder to begin with.
But then when you add this stuff to it,
yeah,
it just gets crazy. Or as the kids say, cray-cray.
You're so hip.
I just want you to know that I am relevant.
Well, go hang out in East Nashville with some of those guys and see.
Yeah.
Grow a beard. Wear some skinny jeans.
Don't shampoo.
Well, we use dry shampoo. Thank you very much.
Is that what you use over
Absolutely.
There?
Dry shampoo. It's better for the environment, and it makes you a special snowflake.
Does it get you any cleaner than prior? No, but it is better for.
I have no idea, actually.
All right. So we're going to talk about this today and things that you could be prepared for, to watch for. You may not even know this is going on. And so we want to make sure that we're giving out all the information we can to prepare you for this. You know, and this is close with me. I've got a buddy of mine that I work out with in martial arts who has Parkinson's, and my father has Parkinson's. And so it's something that we have to discuss and learn more about, so that we're not caught flat-footed wondering, what do we do? You know, all of a sudden these things start happening, and oh yeah, I remember hearing about that. Okay, here's what we do about this. That's why I do this show. The job of a caregiver is a brutal one as it is. And you throw in the unknowns that are happening out there, and it makes it even harder. So if you are just now tuning in the show, if you've never heard the show before, we are the nation's number one show for caregivers. And I've taken this on as a personal mission out of my own journey of 30 years. You know, I've been doing this for my wife for a very, very long time through a medical nightmare. And it keeps going. I mean, it hasn't shown any signs of slowing down. And so how do you stay healthy in this thing? What does that even look like? And it's not enough to say, okay, I'm going to get a good night's rest. I'm going to eat a good diet. Those are important things too. But the journey of a caregiver is through your health, your emotions, your lifestyle, your profession, your money, and your endurance.
And I think you do need to put emphasis on that. What does that even look like?
Well,
it's hard.
It is not something that you can just simply, you know, just say, well, let me know if there's something I can do, or just get a good night's rest, or take good care of yourself.
These are all right. They're just not necessarily relevant.
We got to get the little brushes out.
Yeah.
We're going to have to drill down and get some specific things.
Look at you with the metaphors.
Well, I do the best I can with what I have.
And bless your heart.
Bless my heart. So speaking of bless your heart, I'm on iHeartMedia, by the way. People listening around the country.
So you are.
That was a segue. You see what I did just there? That's why I got a radio show, John.
Very slick.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, because I want to come right back, because I believe Diane's with us. And so we're going to come back and talk to Diane Sagan from Southern California, who's going to help us understand a little bit more about this thing with Parkinson's disease psychosis. I am Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for caregivers, and you can be a part of this. 615-737-9522. 615-737-9522. We'll take your calls. I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver, the nation's number one show for caregivers. We are so thrilled to have you with us. I'm Peter Rosenberger. We are live on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, and today we're going to be talking about Parkinson's disease psychosis. It's a tough, tough diagnosis that's going on with nearly 50%, I think, of Parkinson's disease patients. And so we wanted to delve into this, and if you're just now joining the show, the number to call is 615-737-9522. If you've got something that's troubling you, that's just you need to get off your chest, that you're hurting with, you're struggling with, maybe you just left a family member at an assisted living place and you're feeling guilty and all those kinds of things, you know, this is the place to call those things. And we'll stop in the middle of what we're doing and talk to you about that. That's what this show is about. It's a respite place for people to speak your language. You know, a lot of people don't understand how to speak caregiver. I do. Because I've been doing it for 30 years, and I do know how to do this. Speaking of speaking caregiver, I have on the phone with me Diane Sagan from Orange County, Southern California, who is going to introduce us to the world of living with someone with Parkinson's disease psychosis. And she's got an amazing story. Married 50 years. Wonderful husband, Jay, who was an art professor. And now she's dealing with this, not only Parkinson's now, but this new reality of the psychosis that has stepped in. So, Diane, you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, we are thrilled. How are things in Southern California today?
Hot.
Hot. Well, it's not hot here in Tennessee. We're thrilled. You know what? This takes a lot of courage. Well, first off, it takes a lot of courage to come on my show, Diane.
Yeah, I think so.
But that's a separate issue. But yeah. It takes a lot of courage just to share your vulnerability and your heart in this thing and about yours and Jay's story. Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit about you and Jay.
Okay, well, like you said, we've been married 50 years, or actually 51 years, and he had a great career as an art professor and an artist and a gallery curator, and he ended up in about 2015, or sorry, 2011, he had to retire because of this psychosis taking over. The Parkinson's itself, I think he could have lived with that, you know, if the psychosis hadn't started creeping up on him. But
and it came pretty fast right after the original diagnosis of Parkinson's, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a year or two. It wasn't really fast, but it kind of crept in. He began seeing black cats out of the corner of his eye, and seeing people in the living room. I came home from work one day, and he had been chatting with a whole group of people in the living room who weren't there. And one day, he had been talking to his brother in the living room all day. They'd just been chatting away, but his brother wasn't here.
Well, now, what do you do for safety in a situation like this? How do you feel comfortable leaving him to go to the grocery store or whatever?
I don't, to be honest. He has one of those little buttons he can push if he falls. In fact, one day I came home from work and he had wandered outside and fallen. He had the delusion he was going to a party, and we're not party people, so you know that was definitely a delusion. So I don't really feel safe. I can run out for an hour. At this point, I feel kind of confident that he won't do anything too crazy, but no more than an hour at a time. I can't leave him for the whole day, for instance, without having somebody here.
What about, do you feel like you're going to have to get to the point where you install video cameras, for example?
You know, I've thought of it, definitely. I actually do want to do that.
I got, for my house, I got all my doors were changed over to electronic locks, for example. And so I get a text message if the door is left open for more than X amount of time.
Oh, good idea.
Little things like that that I've done. I'm not dealing with the same reality of yours, but my wife is a double amputee. And so if the door is open, she can't always get to the door to close it, depending on which door it is. And so if somebody comes in or whatever or leaves and they don't shut it properly, I can be notified by that and make arrangements or whatever, or I could set alarms. And that may be something that may be helpful to you, because I know this is incredibly scary to you. Now, does he get violent?
He never does. One of the things with Parkinson's, a precursor of it is REM sleep disorder, where he will act out things in his dreams, you know, act out playing soccer or punching somebody. And for a while, that was kind of scary, and I would get accidentally hit a few times. But when he's conscious, I don't ever feel there's any danger. Thank God. His neurologist asks us that every time we see him, and I really don't feel there's danger.
Well, speaking of neurologist, a mellow guy. Well, you are in Southern California. You're mellow people out there.
We're very mellow.
Well, I've got a friend of mine who's going to join us here after the break at the bottom of the hour, Dr. Daniel Clausen. He is a neurologist here at Vanderbilt. This is his area. I mean, he deals with Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Huntington's, and just a brilliant guy and just a great guy. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So just hang on with that. Okay. You know, what you are also a marriage therapist.
Right.
This has certainly complicated the understanding of marriage for you, hasn't it?
It certainly has. You know, this is not something I've really dealt with with any of my clients. So it's almost it's a whole new area for me. You know, so I've had to do a lot of research on it. And I have had to cut down my practice. I only see right now maybe 4 clients. I can run out for an hour and see a client and come back and later in the week see another one.
Well, do you think you may get to the point where you're doing most of your stuff by FaceTime, video conferencing?
You know, yeah, I do have one client I do by FaceTime, and that seems to work okay. So, yeah, possibly that's the answer.
Well, one of the things I've noticed about we caregivers is that we have to constantly adapt.
Yeah.
Because it's you don't get to necessarily a plateau in every case. Some people do. And I've talked to some folks that it just plateaus and it's the same for years on end. But in your case, every day is a new day of adventure, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. You know, it's a plateau and then it ramps up a little bit, another plateau. It's always changing, which I don't mind. You know, I'm kind of a person that likes, you know, interest and new things. So it's a real challenge for me.
Now, this is not treatable, is it?
No, it's a long-term disease, yeah. There's no medication that really works for the psychosis. There is one that he's on that requires a weekly blood test. And so there is a company working on a new treatment that's about to be, hopefully the FDA is going to approve it. And we'll see. You never know how new drugs are going to do.
Well, this is such a new topic that we're dealing with here. I mean, people have not, this is the first time we've dealt with it here on this show, and I've not had a conversation with anybody else that's going through this. Now, this hits home to me because I've got a very dear friend of mine. We work out together in martial arts, Parkinson's disease, and he is 70. But my dad has just been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and he's 80. So this is my antenna's up pretty high on this. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back in a little bit to talk about this with you tomorrow. Don't go away, Diane. But I want to also let you know that if you want to be on the show, if you got something you want to talk about, if this is hitting home with you, 615-737-9522 is the number to call. And also, you can find more about Standing with Hope, what we're doing at Standing with Hope. That's who's the sponsor of this show. The presenting sponsor of this show is Standing with Hope. And you're going to love what we're doing there. StandingWithHope.com. StandingWithHope.com. If you want to find out more about this, get podcasts for this show a little bit later on and so forth. Diane, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger on the nation's number one show for caregivers. You don't go away. You come right back. Listen to that great theme music, by the way, John. You like it?
Oh, yeah.
That's my boy, Chris Latham.
He's good stuff, man.
Do you know we're getting ready to cut a CD together?
You wrote this song.
I wrote this song, but Chris and I wrote it together.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm getting ready to cut a CD.
Really?
And guess who's going to produce it?
Is it going to be any good?
It's going to be very good. It's going to be huge, as Donald Trump says. It's going to be huge. Chris is going to produce it for me.
Right on.
All right. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger. Welcome back. <Jeez. We're... laughs> I don't even know how to respond to that.
It doesn't merit one.
The Count of Monte Disco.
That is a great song.
It is. I just didn't expect that to come back from the brain. Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by... This is Peter Rosenberger bringing you 30 years of experience and the Count of Monte Disco bringing you whatever
experience. Thank
whatever
you
the
much.
Count is bringing to us, he's bringing that to us in space. He fooled around and fell in love. All right, we're glad to have you with us. If you want to be on the show, if you think this is funny and you want to call in with something that's funny as well, 615-737-9522.
Yeah, I give great non sequitur advice just over the phone all the time.
We do, and we're happy to have you. We're talking about a very serious subject, but you know, this is one of the things I love about doing this show is that we can take a lot of right turns because I know the heartache of a caregiver. For 30 years, I've been a caregiver. And continuing. And I remember when I first started doing this show, Jeff Foxworthy told me, he said, you know what? Make them laugh, Peter. Make them laugh because you know the heartache more than most, and we need that explosive laughter pressure valve release.
And that is exactly what it is.
And
it
so
is
we, a pressure so valve John, release. Thank you for picking out the most crazy selection for this. We're talking about Parkinson's disease and Parkinson's disease psychosis, and he kind of fooled around and fell in love.
Hey, you know I love you.
Well, God bless you. And we're talking with Diane Sagan from Southern California. Her 50-year journey with her husband Jay, and recently a lot of dynamics came into play as he was diagnosed with Parkinson's back in 2009, and then shortly thereafter, less than 2 years after that, started developing psychosis component to this. And it's been a very serious adjustment for her. And I'm also joined on the phone with Dr. Daniel Clausen from Vanderbilt, one of my dear friends, who's a neurologist, deals with Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Huntington's disease, and just a brilliant guy, but a guy with a heart as big as his intellect who just loves these folks and their families. And so, Dr. Clausen, are you with us?
Hey, how you doing, Peter? Thanks for the kind words.
Well, you're a kind fella, and sorry for the non-professional intro.
Yeah, I was going to come out with Peter Rosenberger psychosis there a little bit.
That is John Butler. Well, they, yeah. Choice cuts, guys, I'm telling you.
Choice cuts from John Butler. Well, Diane, Dr. Clausen, you two can meet together here, but Diane was sharing a little bit of her journey and what has been happening with her and Jay. And now this is the first I've heard of this. Dr. Clausen, you've been dealing with this for some time. Tell me a little bit more about what's going on. What happens here, neurologically speaking? What is happening here with this psychosis?
Yeah, well, I think Parkinson's psychosis probably is under-recognized by a lot of providers, primarily because sometimes patients don't really know that it's happening. So you can think of the word psychosis really to capture a term that basically includes things like visual hallucinations, auditory hallucinations. So most commonly people see things that aren't, so to speak, real. They're not there, but they're real in their consciousness. And what happens is people act on them. So in extreme cases, you can think of some really bad stories that have come in the news recently, you know, where patients have taken out a gun and shot at a hallucination and end up killing a loved one. That's a really extreme case, but one that really captures the severity of how problematic this can be. In Parkinson's disease, really one of the areas of the brain that gets affected is the visual integration system. So how we see things and how we understand what they are and where they are in space, that part of the brain gets messed up, so to speak. And because of that, it's very frequent that patients will have visual hallucinations. And the second part of the brain that also gets affected is the emotional regulation. So when it becomes a real problem is when patients have fear that's associated with those symptoms or concern about those visual hallucinations, wanting to do them harm. And so you can imagine it can be very troubling for a caregiver to look after a patient that has that, because they're having a hard time adjusting to the instantaneous request of a family member who's acting on something that's not real. So it's a big clinical problem.
Well, so Diane, listening to this, I guess it would fall. One of the reasons this thing has not been as noticed as you would think is that it really does fall on the caregiver to probably bring attention to this thing. Is that a fair statement, Diane and Dr. Clausen?
Absolutely. I was thinking about that today, how it's kind of an invisible thing. You know, his friends don't necessarily know he has it until they sit with him for a while, and then it, you know, becomes apparent.
So, that's one more burden that a caregiver has to deal with, is all of a sudden we're seeing things now that would not be even diagnosed were we not bringing it to the attention of a physician. So, Dr. Clausen, what would you say to caregivers out there when they're seeing these things? How can they quickly bring this to the attention of the neurologist that's involved or the family physician or whatever? And what are some steps to do? You can't really treat this, I guess, can you?
Yeah, there's a lot in that question. Let me first make a comment by saying that every little clinical information that you can give to your doctor is probably important. For instance, there's this one unusual part of Parkinson's disease where patients act out their dreams at night, where they start believing that people are chasing them or there's an animal in the room that's coming after them, and the patient will start screaming and sometimes hit the spouse or jump out of bed, and that's called, it's a fancy name, is REM behavior disorder. But, you know, that's been going on for a while, and it wasn't until patients started saying, is this actually something that we need to take care of, that physicians realized, wait, this may be one of the earliest signs of Parkinson's disease. So I would say the first thing is that no, every little bit of information helps. And so what I recommend caregivers to do is kind of jot things down on a piece of paper, because when you go see your doctor, maybe you've got 20 minutes, maybe you've got 30 minutes. And that happens fast. So having that information ready for your doctor is really important, so they can be alerted to what important therapies may be available for you. The second thing about the treatment is that, yes, it is a difficult thing to treat. There are some very good treatments to help it. They range depending on the severity of symptoms. There are some new treatments coming down the pipeline, which actually have a lot of potential to offer help to patients. And so I would say that this is not something that you have to live with. This is something that you and your doctors can treat, and it may be pharmacologic, it may be non-pharmacologic.
Well, we were just talking about that earlier. Diane mentioned that in the prior segment, that she started experiencing that when Jay would start running or trying to hit something in his dreams, and then she was afraid for her own safety on that.
Right.
And so I think that the lesson from this is, and I've said this for some time, that we caregivers wield a significant amount of authority in this. We're not experts in the science of it necessarily, but we are experts in our loved ones. And it's okay for us to raise our hands and say, hey, I'm noticing these things. And a lot of times we're afraid to do that. We may feel self-conscious about it. We may feel embarrassed for our loved one, trying to protect their dignity. But I think you just heard very clearly from Dr. Clausen, it's not only something we should do, it's something we really must do to bring that information to the hands of the medical professionals. And because the loved one can't always see these things. They don't necessarily know what's going on with them. But we as caregivers are watching and observing it and seeing it. And that's our responsibility to wield that authority. Would you... Is that a fairly good summary of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And I think you and I have talked before about kind of coming into that doctor-patient relationship and really taking charge over, okay, doctor, here are the main things that I need to go over with you. let's talk about these. They're on my list. Before I leave today, can we make sure we get over them? Mm-hmm. I think that's really one of the hard areas that, you know, it's a little different. You know, when you're seeing your doctor, sometimes you just expect, all right, we're going to go in. What happens, happens. But taking charge over the things that you want to talk about is really important. The other point I'll make is that it's not just one doctor. In the case of Parkinson's psychosis, we often get our colleagues in psychiatry to come on board. We often get our colleagues in sleep medicine if people are acting out dreams, like was mentioned earlier. So it's a real team approach. And building that team can be sometimes challenging to caregivers because you're starting to juggle a lot of balls, a lot of different doctors involved, a lot of different expertise, and they got to make sure they talk to each other. So that can also be a big challenge for caregivers.
Well, Diane, does that register with you?
That really does, yeah. You know, Jay's seeing a lot of different doctors, and it's interesting. It took me a while to realize I had permission to be a spokesperson for him. You know, your HIPAA sort of trains us that, oh, no, none of it is my business, but it is my business because I'm his caregiver and really his advocate. So I go with him to all his appointments and, you know.
I'm almost certain, by the way, that HIPAA was designed by non-caregivers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just almost certain of that. That has been the source of frustration for me over the many years. And it's, once again, is the glaring inefficiency of people in government. But I understand their intentions were noble. But you're right. It takes, you feel a little bit self-conscious speaking for someone else, don't you?
Absolutely.
But you heard it right here, straight from the doctor. He said, we must do this because we're the only ones that are going to see it. Jay's not going to know if he's acting out in the middle of the night in the middle of his dreams.
No.
And he's not going to know that his family didn't show up and he had a conversation with them in the living room and they were never there.
Mm-hmm.
But you do, and so these are things we need to write down. And I would say this to all our caregivers, that we need to write these things down, jot them down, and then go in there. One of the things I recommend doing is also just going down with three big topics when you deal with your doctor. What are the action steps we want to get out of this meeting? What are the things that we want to accomplish today? Don't go in there and leave things open-ended. I mean, Dr. Clausen, you jump in on that one too, but I'm a big fan of saying, okay, what's the next action step? And the next action step may just be to wait for 6 months, but that's still an action step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I think as a physician, when I have a patient that comes in with, hey, these three things we want to get over today, that's really helpful to me because I know I get a picture from the last 3 to 4 months. I haven't seen them, but I get a picture of what's going on in the interval time, what are the big issues that are going on in their lives. And sometimes, you know, patients actually bring care advocates with them. I don't know if you've had experience with that, Peter, but I know that's an increasing
experience with it. We've got a sponsor for that on our show. and let me give you their number, 615-298-9201. That's one of our sponsors, and they have been for some time because, you know.
That's Care Advocates by Whole Care, right, Peter?
Care Advocates by Whole Care. And I've been doing this with Gracie for a long time, but I don't think people want to try to. The learning curve is pretty steep, you know. Let's get a professional in there. Listen, we're going to have to take a break here, and I know that Dr. Clausen's got to leave. And boy, Daniel, I appreciate you coming on. I really do. You're just such an amazing resource. Diane, you stick around for a little bit longer if you don't mind.
Okay. No problem.
Doc, thank you so much. I'll see you next time.
Yeah, I'll see you on the piano.
All right. This is Peter Rosenberger. We are the nation's number one show for caregivers, and we're glad you're with us. We know the challenges are going on with you. We know how difficult this is, and that's why we're offering practical, proven help. And you can be a part of the show if you got something you just want to get off your chest. If this is resonating with you, 615-737-9522. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I'm Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong, to equip you with proven practical wisdom and insights, and also just great interviews. And we've had one of those today with Diane Sagan of Southern California, who's sharing her own journey, opening up her heart to share with you her story of taking care of her husband with Parkinson's, who is now exhibiting Parkinson's psychosis. What they call Parkinson's disease psychosis, or PDF. And it's not something that's talked about a lot, but it's affecting almost 50% of Parkinson's patients. And it really falls on the caregiver to notice these things, because the loved one's not going to necessarily see these things. They're going to start imagining things that aren't there. They're going to start hearing things that aren't there. And if you don't see that as a caregiver and make notes of this, we just had Dr. Daniel Clausen from Vanderbilt on, who's a neurologist, and he said one of the things we got to do is jot those things down so that we can bring them to the attention of the medical provider and know what's going on. Diane, I got just a last couple of questions here, and then I'll let you go. Now, thank you for staying on the air with us here.
No, it's been fun.
Well, that's very kind of you. John, did you hear that? She said it's been fun.
I love your sense of humor.
Well, you're one of the few, Diane. You're one of the few.
That's not true. Peter Rosenberger, you get right back in here and you apologize.
Okay, yes, we are funny. We are funny and we're goofy. Diane, how long have you been a marriage therapist?
Oh, maybe 12 years.
12 years.
Second career. Yes.
Well, when you started out as a marriage therapist, Jay didn't have any of this stuff, did he?
No. Mm-mm.
How has that changed the way you interact with other married couples now, that as far as when you're counseling with them now, when you start to see impairments that have a place in the, or is that coming up in the clients that you have?
You know, it isn't. I only right now have one married couple since I've reduced my load. That's not coming up, although the gentleman in the case is Jay's age, so I do watch for it. You know, I do question whether what's going on with him is just his character or if it's something else.
Do you see yourself as somehow developing something for couples that are going through something similar to yours from a marriage therapist's point of view, to be able to speak to that caregiver down the road? I mean, do you see a book or a series of journaling or something that you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're learning things. You're getting on-the-job training to speak to an issue that a lot of people can't. It's one thing to be a therapist. It's one thing to be married and a therapist. But it's a whole different thing when you're dealing with this reality. And I've got another friend of mine who's been on the show with me here, and she's dealing with a husband who has Parkinson's as well. And I told her to be listening. She's a therapist, and she still stays pretty active, but she does a lot of her clients come to the home so she can stay there close to her husband. And she's
that
kept her office
great.
There. Is that something you're looking at, by the way?
I don't think I can do that. Our setup isn't something that would work that way. I would love to, though, if we had, you know, a big enough house. I love your suggestion about a book or something, to do something with this, because, I'm getting so much experience that I think could be shared.
Well, I've got a statement that I use in my book, which, by the way, John, is available in bookstores across the country.
They let you write a book.
And I love it. I downloaded it on Kindle, and it's terrific.
Well, thank you very much.
I want to put up, you know, various of the quotes around the house so that I can, you know.
Well, you're certainly, I would be honored.
I tell you what, get a hard copy version and a pair of scissors.
I think so.
Well, it's, you know, but one of the things I say in my book is a lot of people are talking about being a caregiver. But when it comes to how to help the caregiver, you know, my opinion is irrelevant. It's the experience that trumps opinion.
Yeah.
And you and I both are, you know, that on the job experience. I mean, you it's invaluable. I mean, how do you even quantify it? And so what you're getting as a marriage therapist who has a deep understanding of the human relationships, and now the human relationships with the added pressure of this, and I trust and hope that you are journaling these things and keeping your thoughts in a cohesive manner, because I think you're going to find that somewhere down the line, this is going to mean a lot to a lot of people. And what you're doing is important, Diane.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful to meet you and know you. I know this is not easy, what you're dealing with. I know this is not easy. And maybe you get, you know what, maybe somebody can even help you start a blog.
That I would need help with, yes.
As Groucho Marx said,
know how to do it.
As Groucho Marx said, it's so easy a child of five can do it. Somebody get me a child of five.
Seriously. So. I tell people all the time, you don't know how to work that, find a 12-year-old. They're great. They know everything.
Yes. Well, I'm just going to call you out on the air, Diane, and say, find somebody who can help you do this because your thoughts are worth sharing with others. What you're dealing with is important, and you have really blessed me today by just coming on the show and opening up your heart and your pain, and you've trusted me with your heartache. And I take that very seriously, and because I know the heartache that we caregivers carry in those late night conversations with the ceiling fan, you know,
when
we're wondering how in the world are we going to deal with this. And
exactly.
I'm just grateful for you, and thanks for being on the show. And I'm gonna have to let you go here in a minute, but I wanted to take that moment to thank you with this.
Oh, well, thank you for the opportunity.
All right, now you behave yourself out there.
Okay.
All right, well, listen, thank you all for being a part of the show. And I want to take just a few moments in our last little bit of time here and, again, tell you what we're doing at Standing With Hope. Standing With Hope is the presenting sponsor of this show, and we are aggressively going after today's caregivers. This is a passion that I have and our organization has of what can we do to help equip these people who are putting themselves between a vulnerable loved one and disaster? Now, as you're listening, you can think of probably half a dozen people who are in this position. You may be in this position. What do you do? What does help look like? We know. We talk about those things. We discuss those things. And I'm getting out on lots of different formats to talk about it. I got it in my book. I got it in blogs. I got it in podcasts. It's all there. And I'm putting it out there as fast as I can. And I could use your help to do it. StandingWithHope.com. StandingWithHope.com. And we're asking you to take a moment to go out there. And if you like what you're hearing, if you want to see more of this, we're looking at syndicating this show. We're looking at doing a lot of different things, but we can't do it alone. Part of my journey as a caregiver is learning how to ask for help. I mean, John, that's been a real hard thing for me to do over the years because we caregivers tend to be kind of high-functioning multitaskers who can do it all by ourselves until we crash and burn.
Until you can't.
Until we crash and burn.
Yeah.
And so we have to learn to ask for help. Well, I'm asking for help today. I am on a mission, and I am just compelled to go out there. And somebody asked me the other day, why did you write your book? What was the purpose? What did you want to do? And it was to reach that 23-year-old version of myself who took this thing on. You know, there's a young kid out there who is taking on something like this, or a young father with a special needs child, or a young mother who has had this happen to her child, or there's a 55-year-old couple out there struggling because a parent is getting elderly or whatever. There's just so many different scenarios. And who's helping them? I've had the benefit of great pastors, a great family, great counselors. You know, I've been raised by a pack of therapists. And
do they run in packs? What do you call it? What do you call a group of therapists? A couch? I just made that one up. I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll work on it.
You better cut that out. Security.
I am security.
We're in trouble. But, you know, I've had the benefit of so many people that have been involved with what I'm doing here and helping me over the years. But what about the folks that are out there that don't have any of that? They don't have a good church situation. They don't have a good family situation. They're all alone. Caregivers, by definition, are isolated. We're bringing community to them, and I'm asking for your help to do it. So standingwithhope.com, standingwithhope.com. Lots more that we're going to be putting out on the website and the book. You could read excerpts of the book. There's all kinds of stuff out there. It's a great resource for you. So go take advantage of it. Follow us on Facebook at Standing With Hope, on Twitter at Stand With Hope. And I am just grateful that you allow us to take 1 hour of your time to share with you some things that we're learning, we're working through ourselves. I can't wait till next Sunday. I'm ready for another show. Give me 2 more hours, John. Listen, I'm Peter Rosenberger. John said, nope, we don't get 2 more hours. I've got to go. StandingWithHope.com, and I will talk to you next week. This is Peter Rosenberger. Thanks so much for joining us.